Magandang hapon po mga kababayan. Kayo'y nakikinig dito lamang sa Radyo Migrante. Ako po si Waynes, kasama niyo sa kwentuhan at sa pagsaservisyo sa bayan.
Ako naman po si Julie, bumabati ng isang mapagpalayang tanghali sa inyong lahat. Lalong-lalo na sa ating masisipag, masisikap at mapagmahal na mga migranteng manggagawa sa bawat sulok ng mundo.
At ako po si Amihan, ang kumare niyong PAK o PAK pinaglalaban ng katotohanan. Samahan niyo po kaming patuloy na labanan ang talamak na disinformasyon at misinformasyon ngayon.
Kayo po ay nakikinig sa ating episode 36 ngayong November 19, 2023. Alamin natin ang kalagayan at karapatan ng mga batang Pilipino.
So today, we will talk about this week's top news dito sa Canada at sa Pilipinas. Mapakikinggan din natin ang isang awit na ginugunita ang World Children's Day.
At syempre, hindi po matatapos ang ating episode kung wala ang Pinoy Tayo segment kung saan makakapanayam natin si Connie Ledesma, ang chairperson of the Special Office for the Protection of Children or SOPC of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines or NDFP. Hindi rin makukumpleto ang ating episode kung wala tayong current and latest community listings sa GTA.
Ayan, napakarami pala nating mapag-uusapan today. So simulan na natin para sa ating top 4 news this week. Para sa unang balita, mula sa Philippine Star, Duterte gets first subpoena since stepping down from public office. Ang dating Pangulong si Rodrigo Duterte ay ipinapaharap sa Office of the City Prosecutor sa Quezon City sa May December. Siya ay inutusang magsumite ng counter-affidavit sa criminal complaint na inihain sa kanya ni Alliance of Concerned Teachers representative na si Franz Castro. Ito ang unang subpoena na inissue kay Duterte mula nang matapos ang kanyang termino bilang Pangulo noong Hunyo ng nakaraang taon.
Ang daming nangyayari sa pagitan ng mga Marcos at Duterte, no? Mula sa walang pagod na pagtindig ng taong bayan, tinanggal ang confidential funds ni Sara Duterte. Tapos tinanggal si Gloria Arroyo as Deputy Speaker. Tapos, pinayagan na mag-bail si Laila De Lima. At ngayon naman, pinapaharap na si Duterte sa prosecutor sa Quezon City. Talagang lumalala na ang pagbiyak ng Unity Team.
Oo nga, ano na kayang sunod, no? Dapat papasukin na yung ICC sa pag-iimbestiga ng war on drugs sa ilalim ni Duterte at naharapin na nila itong mga ilalapat ng ICC.
Babantayan natin to mga karadmig dahil mukhang marami pang mangyayari sa pagitan ng mga Marcoses at Duterte dito sa kanilang Unity Team. At para naman sa pangalawang balita mula sa Bulatlat, Press Freedom Advocates light candles for slain journalists in the Philippines and Gaza. Nagsindi ng kandila ang mga journalist at mga press freedom advocates sa harap ng College of Mass Communication of the University of the Philippines, Diliman para manawagan ng hustisya para sa mga journalist at media workers na pinapatay sa Gaza. Gayon din para sa kamakailang pinaslang na Filipino radio broadcaster na si Juan Humalon. Batay sa ulat ng Committee to Protect Journalists noong November 7, hindi bababa sa 37 journalists at media workers ang kumpirmadong patay. Karamihan sa mga namatay ay mga Palestinian, umaabot ng 32 po ang namatay sa kanila, 4 na Israeli at 1 Lebanese. Ito po ang mga pangyayari sa Gaza.
Itong November 14 nga lang ay mayroong pro-Palestinian rally sa Pilipinas na nakipagsagupaan sa mga pulis at umabot sa harap ng US Embassy sa Manila. Umabot sa 200 ang mga umattend at ang demand nila ay tuligsain ang suporta ng US para sa pag-ookupa ng Israel sa Gaza at ang patuloy nitong pambobomba sa mga Palestinian.
Oo, tapos nung nakaraang Sabado din, ngayong buwan, no, ika-4 ng Nobyembre, ayon sa Bayang Alyansang Makabayan o Bayan USA, ang daang-daang Pilipino ang pumunta sa pinakamalaking pro-Palestine rally sa American history na nangyari sa Washington, D.C.
Pangatlong balita, mula sa Malaya Movement, over 300 protest a Marcos Jr.'s Filipino Community Meeting in South San Francisco. Nitong November 15 hanggang November 17, sa pagpunta ni Marcos Jr. sa San Francisco para dumalo sa Asia Pacific Economic Forum. Daan-daan ang nagprotesta sa South San Francisco. Ang mga miyembro ng Bayan USA, Malaya Movement USA, Kabataan Alliance at ang Filipino-American Human Rights Alliance ay nagsagawa ng isang programa na naglantad sa pagbebenta ni Marcos Jr. sa Pilipinas at sa pamana ng karahasan, impunity, historical na revisionismo at katiwalian ng kanyang pamilya. Sinalubong ng mga nagpoprotesta ang dose-dose ng pulis na nabigo namang takutin ang 300 na kataong nagtipon at nagprotesta dyan po yan sa South San Francisco. At para naman sa pang-apat at huling balita mula sa CBC, Ontario Food Bank bans international students. Ang St. Louis Outreach Center of PIL sa May Brampton ay nagsimulang tanggihan ang mga international students sa kanilang food bank. Ang kanilang katuwiran ay dapat daw pag pumunta sa Canada itong mga international students, dapat daw may dala silang sapat na pera at na kaya nilang suportahan ang kanilang sarili. Grabe, anong masasabi niyo dyan mga karadmi?
Discriminatory itong ganitong ban dahil una sa lahat, no, binabayaran ng international students natin ay on average halos 6 times more than tuition ng ating domestic students. Tapos hindi rin sila eligible para sa mga housing vouchers, public health insurance, provincial at federal loans or grants. Hirap talaga ang international students dito sa bansa.
Ayan po, patuloy po tayong nakikinig sa Radyo Migrante dito sa Toronto's Best Filipino Community Program, Vibe 105. Natunghayan po ninyo ang mga balita at ngayon naman magbalik tanaw tayo sa ating kasaysayan ng Pilipinas.
Hello po ulit, ako po si Amihan, bringing you today's segment of ang ating kasaysayan. Tara, let's learn more about our history and remind ourselves that history is not just information about the past. Because history is also a way for us to learn more about our culture and to get to know more about ourselves as Filipinos. Ano ba ang World Children's Day? Mula sa United Nations, ang World Children's Day ay unang itinatag noong 1954 bilang Universal Children's Day at ipinagdiriwang tuwing 20 ng Nobyembre bawat taon upang isulong ang international na pagkakaisa, kamalayan ng mga bata sa buong mundo at pagpapabuti ng kapakanan ng mga bata. Ang Nobyembre 20 ay isang mahalagang petsa dahil ito ang petsa noong 1959 kung kailan pinagtibay ng UN General Assembly ang Deklarasyon ng Mga Karapatan ng Bata. Ito rin ang petsa noong 1989 kung kailan ipinagtibay ng UN General Assembly ang Convention on the Rights of the Child. Mula noong 1990, ang World Children's Day ay minarkahan din ang anibersaryo ng petsa kung kailan pinagtibay ng UN General Assembly ang deklarasyon at ang konvensyon sa mga karapatan ng mga bata. Ano ang United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child or UNCRC? Ang UNCRC ay isang kasunduan sa karapatang pantao na nilikha ng United Nations na nagbibigay ng buong listahan ng mga karapatan para sa lahat ng bata hanggang sa edad na 18. Halos lahat ng bansa sa mundo ay pumirma sa convention. Ang pagpirma sa convention ay nangangahulugan na ang mga bansang ito ay nangangako na protektahan at itaguyod ang mga karapatang ito. Pinirmahan ng Canada ang konbensyon noong 1991. Sinasabi ng convention na ang pamahalaan ang in charge sa pagtiyak na nirerespeto ang mga karapatan ng mga bata at alam ng mga bata ang kanilang mga karapatan. Ano nga ba yung mga pangunahing prinsipyo, no, ng convention?
Ayan, isa sa mga prinsipyo ng convention, dapat walang diskriminasyon. Ang mga karapatan ng lahat ng bata ay dapat iginagalang ng walang anumang uri ng diskriminasyon. Hindi dapat basihan yung kanilang kasarian, kung sila ba ay mayaman o mahirap, kung ano ang kanilang relihiyon, etsinidad, o lengguwaheng sinasalita, at kung meron ba silang espesyal na pangangailangan.
Oo, tsaka yung best interest ng mga bata, no? Kapag gumawa ng mga desisyon na nakaka-apekto sa buhay ng bata, sinasabi ng convention na napakahalagang isipin kung ano yung pinakamabuti talaga para sa ating mga bata.
Ayun, at isa pa sa kanilang prinsipyo ay ang karapatan sa buhay at pag-unlad. Sinasabi ng convention na dapat gawin ng mga pamahalaan ang kanilang makakaya upang matulungan ang mga bata na mabuhay at lumaking may kapasidad na maabot ang kanilang ganap na potensyal.
Ayan, oo. At ang huli, no, paglahok, ang mga bata ay may karapatang magbigay ng kanilang mga opinyon sa lahat ng bagay na nakakaapekto sa kanila at marinig ang kanilang mga boses, no? Ang pananaw ng mga bata ay dapat palaging seryosohin, anuman ang kanilang edad. So, mga tanong ko, Karadmig, no? Bakit napaka-importante na matutunan ng mga bata yung kanilang mga karapatan?
Una, makakatulong yun para malaman ng mga bata kung kung nilalabag na ba ng ibang tao yung karapatan nila.
Makakatulong din ito para igalang nila ang karapatan ng mga kapwa nila bata.
Tama. At last year, ang slogan ng United Nations in the Philippines ay walang iwanan o leave no one behind. Malalaman natin mamaya sa ating interview with Connie Ledesma kung ano ang tunay na kalagayan ng mga bata sa ating bansa. Totoo bang walang batang napag-iiwanan o naisasantabi sa rehimen ni Marcos? At ayan ang ating kasaysayan. Did you learn something new about our history? Share niyan sa aming Facebook page. Hanapin lang ang Radyo Migrante and join us again next week para sa marami pang pag-aaral ng ating history.
Patuloy po kayong nakikinig sa Radyo Migrante dito sa Toronto's Best Filipino Community Program, Vibe 105. Maraming salamat, Amihan. At para sa susunod na segment, lumubog tayo sa ating kulturang Pilipino.
Ngayon naman, para sa kulturang Pilipino, ako si Julie. Nais nyo bang makadiskubre ng mga makabuluhang kanta at tula mula sa iba't ibang musikero at makata? Ang segment na ito ay magsisilbing espasyo para sa iba't ibang pagtatanghal ng mga talento ng ating kababayang Pilipino. Ang handog namin sa kanta ngayong linggo ay may pamagat na kabataan. Isinulat ito ng Zamboanga Sibugay rapper na si Dan C. Danxee na nabibilang sa grupong Beast South Music.
Andami ditong mga batang naghihirap, sanay sa mabaho at trabahong mabibigat. Iniisip ang pag-aaral kasi walang perang papaaral. Gustuhin man ay hindi pwede kaso walang perang may pundar. Di na mabilang mga batang nakagapo sa kahirapan. Dapat sa kanila pinapasok sa paaralan. Hindi sa trabahong maputi kunti pa ang kinikita. Madudungis na bata di magawang mabihisan. Paano ang kinabukasan nila kung sa paglaki ganyan pa rin matatawag pa silang pag-asa ng bayan? E mundo nila ay puno ng dilim. Minsan yung iba sa kanila kumakapit na lang sa patalim. Kasi di madali maging batang mahirap, kailangan meron kang gawin. Paano ba ang maging malaya?
Wow, ang galing naman. Ano masasabi niyo dyan?
Natuwa talaga ako dun sa kanta kasi hina-highlight niya na marami ang batang napipilitang magtrabaho sa Pilipinas. Galing nga sa UNESCO Institute for Statistics, yung survey na ginawa nila noong 2019, iniulat na 2.1 million na mga bata ages 5 to 17 ang napipilitang magtrabaho. At approximately 2 million doon, napipilitan sila magtrabaho sa kahit na delikadong sitwasyon.
Oo, ang husay talaga ng kanyang kanta. Yun yan, sinabi din yung ang mga bata talaga mula sa komunidad. Sa kanayunan, pangunahin ang mga batang babae ay napapailalim sa trafficking sa loob ng bansa, sa mga sentrong urban at mga destinasyong panturista para sa layunin ng domestic work, no? At komersyal na pagsasamantalang sexual. Napakalukot ng ganitong realidad. At ang mga bata sa kanayunan ay nakikita rin na nagtatrabaho sa mga sugarcane plantations pati na rin sa mga rice fields.
Ayan, salamat sa inyong mga reaksyon. At muli, ako po si Julie. Lagi niyong maasahan na maghahandog ng makabuluhang musika, tula at marami pang iba na nagdiriwang ng kulturang Pilipino dito lang sa Radyo Migrante 105.5 FM.
Sa ating Pulso segment, mapakinggan natin ang mga saloobid ng ating mga batang Pilipino dito sa Toronto. Pakinggan po natin.
So, could you please tell me your name?
Paul Michael.
How old are you, Paul?
7.
What grade are you in?
3.
Do you know where your parents are from?
Philippines, Iloilo City.
Oh, wow. And if you could change one thing in the world for good, what would it be?
World hunger.
What does that mean? What does world hunger mean?
World hunger means children across the world and the globe are starving and have no food to eat.
What motivates or inspires you the most every day?
Video games.
And who is your favorite hero and why?
Nanai, because I wouldn't be in this world if she wasn't here.
Hello, could you please tell me your name?
Jayanne.
How old are you?
8.
What grade are you in, Jayanne?
3.
If there's one thing you could change in the world for good, what would it be?
Stop the war.
Why?
Because people are dying.
What motivates or inspires you the most every day?
Seeing my friends.
And who is your favorite hero and why?
God and my mom, because God died on the cross for us and my mom helps me do my homework.
Do you have any other message or anything else you want to share with me?
My favorite color is pink.
Hi, I'm Sinag. I'm 11 years old in grade 6. As a child of a migrant worker, I believe that I have to earn the sacrifices that my parents made and fulfill the role I've been given. I think that the role I've been given is to pass down family traditions and keep it alive for generations to come. But it goes for every child and not just children of migrant workers, because you have to realize the sacrifices they make to let you do the things that you usually do. If I could change one thing in the world, it would be to change the economy to make it balanced and not an economy where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. What motivates me is the fact that I always tell myself to brighten up and to be the best you can, because hate is unnecessary and it's just not worth the time investment, and you're better off living a healthy and positive life. I don't have a favorite hero, but I think something to live by is to be your own hero. Because although motivation through another person is all right, having discipline and not always relying on motivation is a more effective and more reliable thing.
Hi everyone, my name is Brady and I am 12 years old. I'm in the 7th grade at St. Jerome Catholic School. Being a child of a migrant worker, especially with my mom being a Filipino care worker and advocate, means our lives are a mix of pride, challenges, and lots of love. My mom is a superhero. She works hard to support me, cooks for me, makes me laugh, and creates a home filled with love and understanding. She also cares for others like their families while advocating for their rights. Yet, being a child of a migrant worker also means learning about different cultures, embracing diversity, and understanding the value of hard work and determination. It also teaches me about resilience and the importance of making the most out of every situation. I hope to make my mom proud one day and show her that all her sacrifices were all worth it. If I can change one thing about the world for good, I wish everyone can understand how hard migrant workers and their families work. Sometimes, people don't see the sacrifices or the love behind it all. If everyone could appreciate the efforts of families like mine and have more support, it would make our lives a lot easier and happier.
At yan po ang ating Pulso segment sa linggong ito. Maraming salamat sa mga nagbahagi ng kanilang opinion at karanasan.
Patuloy po kayong nakikinig sa Radyo Migrante dito sa Toronto's Best Filipino Community Program, Vibe 105. Huwag kayong aalis, mga kababayan. Makakasama natin si Connie Ledesma, Chairperson of the Special Office for the Protection of Children of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. Mag-uusap tayo tungkol sa kalagayan at karapatan ng mga bata sa Pilipinas. Mapapakinggan po natin yan after the break. Ayan! Ako po ang inyong host, si Waynes, para sa ating Pinoy Tayo segment o Pinoy Talakayan at Usapan. Dito natin mapakikinggan ang talambuhay ng ating mga kababayan na migrant workers, international students at iba pa. Halina't pakinggan natin ang fresh na fresh na perspectives ng ating mga kababayang Pilipino. To commemorate World Children's Day, mga kasama natin ngayon si Connie Ledesma.
Magandang hapon po sa inyo lahat. Kasama natin ngayon si Connie Ledesma. Welcome po to Radyo Migrante, Tita Connie. We're so happy to have you with us here today. Pwede niyo po bang pakilala yung sarili ninyo sa ating mga tagapakinig?
Good afternoon, Jules. Yeah. Ako si Connie Ledesma. Ako ay member ng negotiating panel ng National Democratic Front of the Philippines. I am based in the Netherlands. I've been based in the Netherlands since many of you were born, which means in the 70s, in the mid-70s, because my husband and I were the first political refugees na Filipino in the Netherlands. And we're still here, we're still active, and the Philippines is not yet free, so we continue working.
Sa yung ito po yung una ko pong tanong sa inyo, Tita Connie, para po sa ating mga listeners, pwede po ba kaming makahingi ng konting paliwanag kung ano ang NDFP at kung ano po yung ginagawa ninyo sa negotiating panel? And ano po ba yung special office for the protection of children na inyong pinangasiwaan?
Okay. Ang NDF, pwede mong tawagin ang Liberation Movement in the Philippines. It is composed of 18 revolutionary organizations among them, and this was the founder organization was the Communist Party of the Philippines. It also has as another member the New People's Army. Meron din mga organizations at trade unions, mga women, youth, cultural groups, indigenous people, lawyers, government employees, health workers, teachers, the different sectors in society. And the newest organization to join the NDF, the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, has been Compatriots, which is the organization of overseas Filipinos. So we are fighting and struggling for a Philippines that is free of imperialism and where the people will have real, can practice real democracy and liberation. And that's us. Okay, and the NDF negotiating panel, there's a New People's Army. That means na there is a merong civil war in the Philippines. Ibig sabihin, there's the war against the Manila government and their security forces, which is the armed forces of the Philippines and the Philippine National Police, fighting the New People's Army in the countrysides. And so the civil war has been going on since 1969. It's the longest war of liberation or armed struggle going on, at least in Asia, probably in the world right now. And to try, for us, it's important for us to address the root causes. Bakit ba may civil war? No? And that is because of the imposition of imperialism on the Philippines. U.S. imperialism imposing its, it dictates on our politics, on our economics, our military, our culture. And we want to be free of that. We want to be an independent nation. And that is what we are fighting for. In all the different aspects, hindi lang naman sa the New People's Army, but all the other member organizations of the NDF are fighting and waging struggles to attain this freedom from imperialism and what we call another problem, feudalism, where the land, the majority of the peasants who till the land do not own the land. And land is a basic desire of the Filipinos. I think you'll see that even with the migrants, even with the diaspora, what do? They try to own land. But most of the land is owned by the wealthy, the very wealthy landlords. And we have to democratize that. So this is what we are fighting for. Now, the armed struggle, as I said, led by the New People's Army, has been going on since 1969. So the government of the Republic of the Philippines, or the Manila government, had initiated since 1986 to have peace talks with the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And the talks have been going on and off, mostly off. Yeah. Now it's been terminated. The negotiating panel is composed of 5 panel members, and Joma Sison used to be the chief political consultant. We also have NDF consultants. We have lawyers. We discuss on the table how we can solve the inequality in the Philippines, how we can solve the roots of the armed conflict so mm-hmm. that there will no longer be an armed struggle. But it's a very uphill battle.
Yeah.
Now, you're asking about the Special Office for the Protection of Children, and this is part of the peace work of the Philippines, of the NDF, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, the children are the most vulnerable in our society. And the NDF has shown particular attention on the welfare of the children. Mm-hmm. And they have been victims of the war, and they have been, they have suffered so much. And the Special Office was set up as part of the peace process in the Philippines to work for the protection of children. And we have a program. We have an NDFP declaration and program of action for the rights, protection, and welfare of children.
I see. So ito po yung ginagawa ng ano, Special Office for the Protection of Children. That's what we, that's what you focus on po.
We're yeah. supposed to come out with a report on the children every year. We have not been able to do that. We've been able to come out every 3 years. And now, even if it's late, we're still working on a report.
Okay.
Most of the contents of the report will be the violations of children's rights.
Yes.
What we're preparing now is what is the revolutionary movement doing to help raise children? So the more positive side, what is happening, how are people in the areas where the NPA are active in, how are children being raised?
Yeah, yun din po yung naku, excited po ako to hear about this report. And yung pangalawa ko pong tanong, Tita Connie, is ano po yung mga halimbawa ng violation of children's rights? At kung natutukoy man, sino po yung mga nag-umpisa nito? Ano po yung mga dahilan, Tita, kung bakit hindi napapahalagan yung mga karapatan ng ating kabataan?
A majority of the population of the Philippines are young people. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that are also the very young, the children. And children, the majority of the children are from the oppressed classes. That means they would be children of the workers, the peasants, fisher folk, those that are very oppressed, and that is the majority of their children. So just that, the fact that the violence of poverty is a major factor in the oppression of children. And then because of the human rights violations being committed by the armed forces of the Philippines, they also have become victims. Children who have watched their parents being killed by the military. When their villages are bombarded, they have had to flee, they've had to find refuge. And this is especially in the case, like for example, in Mindanao, when the Lumads had to flee because their land was being, they were being militarized. Mm-hmm. And the children suffer this, the trauma. Now, recently what has come to light, it's that the military abducting the children. And one of them was an NPA who was pregnant, was arrested. And so she gave birth in prison. After she gave birth, the military told her and her another companion, another NPA, you go back to your units and you tell your brother and you tell your husband to surrender. In the meantime, we will keep your baby.
Oh my.
So this was the, how do you call it? The how do you call it? Like blackmailing. They'll keep the child.
Yeah.
You do what we want, but we'll keep your child. So you really have to do what we want.
Mm-mm.
The two women went to their units, told what they did, and went back to their units. In other words, the mother sacrificed losing her child to go back to the NPA. Now, it was the grandmother who really was looking for her granddaughter or grandchild. And one day, a woman came and brought her the baby. She was so excited to get the baby, she forgot to ask and the woman said, "I took care of your daughter." So the grandmother was so excited, she forgot to ask the name, the circumstances. She was just so happy to get back her granddaughter.
Yeah.
So this came out, this was publicized. So the granddaughter was saved, no?
Mm-mm.
When this came out, it gave courage to a grandmother in Negros whose grandchild for more than 2 years was being held by the military. This grandchild was Baby Marx. And I suppose you've heard of Baby Marx. The parents of Baby Marx are NPA members.
Mm-hmm.
So when Baby Marx was born, the military was able to get the baby because they wanted the parents to surrender. The parents have not surrendered. And the military gave the baby Marx to DSWD, Department of Social Welfare, but under the strict supervision of the military. The grandparents of Baby Marx have, for the past more than 2 years, have been trying to get custody of the child. And what happens? They are harassed. They have been harassed, so they have had to go into hiding. And then the military will say, "Yeah, we can't give you the baby because you've gone into hiding." But they don't say why they have gone into hiding. It's because they're being harassed. So up to now, Baby Marx is still in the hands of the military or still in the hands of the DSWD. So it's this kind of making the child or the baby hostage, which is a new development in the war, which is very bad.
How old is the baby?
Who are the perpetrators, I guess I don't even have to answer that.
Mm-hmm. Masyado na pong klaro. kung sino yung perpetrators na.
And you see, like Baby Marx, the case, nobody knew about the case. The grandparents were just working on it. And I think, I hope it's not true, but it must be happening in other parts of the Philippines. And people are just quietly trying to recover their grandchildren or their nieces or nephews. And it was when this baby Baby Rhea was the name.
Mm-hmm.
When her case became known, that it gave courage to the grandparents of Baby Marx to come out with their story. And that's how we found out about it.
I see. Yeah. Grabe, baka totoo po yung sinabi niya, tita. There might be like other cases about like mga titos, mga titas, lolos and lolas who are trying to get custody of their kids, of their children.
And what about children who have been arrested with their parents or mothers who are disappeared? Because I know of a case in the time of the dictator Marcos when a mother and her 1.5-year-old child were abducted and are disappeared. What has happened to the child?
Yeah.
You know? We know the case in Argentina, for example, during the time of the dictatorship, when many children were taken from and the parents were later disappeared. And the children were given to military parents, the parents in the military, to be raised there. And it was the mothers, mothers of Plaza de Mayo, who started looking for their grandchildren. And already today, more than 100 of these grandchildren have been found through DNA.
Oh.
Because these children grew up, they didn't know who they were. They just knew they were adopted in the military families. And so, can you imagine this kind of achievement of the mothers of Plaza de Mayo?
Grabe. Ang daming atrocities na nangyayari.
Yeah, and children have to suffer that, yeah.
Yes, then they have to suffer not knowing identity nila, who their parents are.
Mm-mm.
And
they grow up in military yeah. In the military atmosphere.
Mm-mm. Exactly po, tita. So sa my fourth question po is ano pong lugar ng karapatan ng mga bata sa kasalukuyang armadong tunggalian sa kanayunan. So I think it also circles back to what you said earlier, yung mga programa po na ginagawa ng SOPC and yung positive report back ng ang ginagawa ng mga bata sa armed struggle ngayon. Pwede niyo po ba kaming kwentuhan kung ano yung mga programa ito?
For example, the schools. They have opened schools. Of course, not all schools are recognized by the Department of Education, but the process for the children in the countrysides, and also for those who are illiterate, because as we know, the benefits of the social benefits, schools, health, recreation, and other facilities like that, do not reach the people in the countryside. So it is the new People's Army and NDF forces who organize classes, organize healthcare, teach them basic hygiene, literacy, and more than that. No? We know also, for example, that the LUMADs had more than 200 schools, and they taught the full education as required by the Department of Education, and their students became very capable leaders, and yeah. they really shown they and very committed people. So that they had that those schools which had been closed by the military, but also even the unknown schools where the education of children takes place, and then teaching them history, teaching mm-hmm. them the reasons why the reasons why there is poverty. The real education, they're given the real education.
Why do we need po, tita? Bakit po natin kailangan bigyan ng toon at halaga ang pagprotekta sa mga batang Pilipino? Hindi lang sa armed struggle, pero sa lahat.
Mm. Alam mo, now I'm sure you read the news about how the Israelis are killing the children, no?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what has really struck me, the mm-hmm. importance of children. That's why they're being targeted by the Israelis, because they are the future. You wouldn't be around if you were killed as a child. And you are the future of the Philippines. Ako hindi na, tapos na ako eh. I'm on my way out. But it's you. So children are even more important. The bombings taking place in Gaza, they're killing the future. But I also know that the Palestinians are going to have more children, they are not going to die as a people, because they are determined to keep on fighting. And that's, for me, that is the importance of our children.
Mm-hmm.
It is to keep that they're going to come out and they're going to be a new nation. They're going to be better than what we were. They're going to keep on fighting. They're going to build. They are the future. That's why they're so important.
Ano po, Tita Connie, ang inyong mga kahilingan at calls to action para sa ating mga listeners sa labas ng Pilipinas?
Follow what's happening in the Philippines. Join us in working and striving for a better Philippines. In other words, what I mean is, ang role naman natin sa labas is to inform people, inform the international community what is happening in the Philippines. Kasi alam mo, like for example, itong ang nangyayari ngayon sa Gaza, it's in the news, everybody knows what's happening. In Ukraine, everybody knows what's happening. Sa Pilipinas, hindi. It's it's not in the news. But what's happening there is terrible. The bombings in the countryside, the red tagging, terrible ang situation. At hindi masyadong nalalaman, no? At saka halimbawa yung exploitation of mines. Ang dami talagang nangyayari sa Philippines which is not known. My call and to the diaspora, as Filipinos outside the country, let us tell people what's happening. Let us campaign for the release of political prisoners. So many of them are sick. They die because they're not being released. They die in prison. Campaign against the bombings in the Philippines. There's so many things to inform the world about. And inform, okay, that's all the bad things, but inform also the good things happening. People are organizing. People are getting educated. People are fighting back. People are demonstrating. Tell the world about this. Ayun, that's what I'm asking me. And have hope. One day, we will be free.
Thank you po, Tita.
Makibaka, huwag kayong matakot.
Maraming salamat sa patuloy na pagsubaybay at maraming salamat din kina Jules at kay Connie Ledesma na naghatid ng ating Pinoy talakayan at usapan. Nakikinig kayo dito lamang sa Radyo Migrante ng Vibe 105.5 FM.
At syempre, to stay updated sa happenings sa ating community, narito po ang mga event at announcement. Sa November 26, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m, magkakaroon po ng Pasko sa Kultura 2023 na gaganapin sa 1352 Lakeshore Road, East Mississauga. Ang Pasko sa Kultura ay isang Filipino Winter Arts Festival na ipinagdiriwang ang Filipino-Canadian Identity, Arts, and Culture. Free admission po ito. Kung gusto nyong mag-avail ng ticket, just check Radio Migrantes Instagram. At sa November 30 naman, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. sa Early On Room, gaganapin ang workshop na Caregivers Know Your Rights. This is organized by Workers Action Center and Migrant Workers Alliance Change. Some of the basic employment standards that apply to all employees, as well as some caregiver-specific issues, will be discussed in this workshop. Register at sandy@iskadingcourt.org.
Interesado ba kayo na maging bahagi ng Radyo Migrante? Halina't sumali sa Radyo Migrante Collective.
At dito nagtatapos ang isa na namang makabuluhang episode ng Radyo Migrante. Ipagpapatuloy natin ito next week kung saan pag-uusapan natin ang papel ng kabataan sa mapagpalaya at makatarungan na pagbabago ng ating lipunan.
Ayan, huwag niyo kami mamimiss kasi next week nandito na naman kami para sa inyo mga kababayan. Sabay-sabay nating siyasatin at saliksikin ang kulturang Pilipino.
Muli, sana po ay marami kayong natutunan sa isang oras na pinagsaluhan natin. Please be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of your day dahil bukas ay simula na naman ng hindi maiiwasang pagbabanat ng buto at nagpatuloy na pakikipagsapalaran para sa ating mga mahal sa buhay na umaasa sa atin. Padayon mga karadmig para sa progresibong politika at pagbabago.
Sa tulong ng mga kababayan natin na bumubuo ng Radyo Migrante, kay Connie Ledesma, kay Carl Ramirez para sa kanyang kantang Migranteng Pilipino, at higit sa lahat sa inyo pong mga nakikinig sa Radyo Migrante tuwing Linggo mula alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon. Maraming maraming salamat po.
Hanggang sa susunod mga kababayan, muli,
mabuhay po kayo at mabuhay ang bayang Pilipinas!
Sugal at makipagsapalaran. Whoa.